We have things to talk about. Welcome or welcome back to The Creation of Her. This week we are doing something new, something I've never done, which is a mini little tea chat, coffee chat, Q&A moment. AKA, I did not feel like coming up with a podcast script this week because I spent the entire weekend on a 3 or 4 day bender, which has a lot of lessons that we can unpack. And I was not feeling guided, but I was like, you know what? I have been compiling a list of questions for that week where I feel like answering questions and just sitting and chatting. But like I said, welcome to Creation of Her. If you're new here, we talk about all things leveling up. We do not strive for perfection here, but instead it's more so gentle ambition, realistic leveling up so that we can close the gap between who you are now and who you want to be. Self-love, wellness, femininity, finances, we talk about everything. All right, let's get straight into it. I have been posting a lot of routine content and productivity content that has been doing super good. So naturally I've been getting some questions. One beautiful queen said, oh my God, hi girly. I love your content. You're so girly. I need you to share, how did you start waking up early? Because I really want to start from tomorrow and I don't know how. It's so good to have more time, but how? Okay, I have been on a journey of waking up since forever, and I feel like whenever I want to do it, I'm pretty good at it. I also don't make it like a huge strict thing. I have phases in life. Like sometimes I wake up really early, sometimes I just go with the flow, wake up when I wake up. But when I enter a season of my life where I want to wake up early, it's so easy for me to do so. So here are my main tips. The number one thing that I will tell every person who asks me how do I wake up early is to stop focusing on waking up early and start focusing on sleeping earlier. The biggest problem for people that stops them from waking up early is that they don't have good sleep hygiene. So it's hard for them to sleep early. If they didn't set up their night routine in a certain way before, or calm themselves down or turn off screens so that they can like go to sleep early. And then on top of that, just have good sleep hygiene so they're not waking up super tired and they can actually wake up well rested, and it's easy, in fact, and natural to wake up early. They're never gonna get it. And then at that point, there's no point in waking up early because you're gonna be tired and therefore less productive. And if you wanna wake up early, especially to be productive, it's kind of counterintuitive. So not only is it a lot more gentler approach, I think, to start sleeping earlier instead of waking up earlier, it also just makes more sense. Obviously, I do have hacks to wake up early. We'll get into that. But I think what's more important is to start first with how you're going to go to sleep early. Here are my personal tips that work for me. Now, of course, this depends on your body, but I eat dinner very early. Like if I'm going to go to sleep around 9:10, I'm having dinner around 5:30, latest 6. And then if I'm hungry later, I'll probably have something light, or I don't know. And this obviously has nothing to do with weight loss or anything. I just sleep so bad on a full stomach. And the majority of people, it tends to be that way because food is energy. Like if I'm giving my body a bunch of energy, then I'm going to have energy. And also my digestive system is going to be on. So it's going to be busy digesting that food. We don't want that, okay, when I'm trying to sleep. I want my body to be calm and I don't want it overworking when I'm trying to shut it down. So for me, that made a really big difference. Also, obviously, turning off my screens minimum 30 minutes before I want to go to sleep, preferably an hour. And honestly, just having a really calming night routine. Now, calming is going to be different to everyone. I wouldn't recommend calming as in sitting and watching YouTube all through the night until you like fall asleep. I will usually read on nights where I don't want to read or something. I will color, but that hour before I go to sleep is where I just start. Like I shower, I take my time with it, I take it slow, I put lotion on after, I do my skincare. This is all very slow, very calming. Like I really like feel into it, be present with it. Then I will make some tea and I will either color, I'll read, or I'll just do something that does not have to do with screens. A lot of times I'll be journaling too. And then I usually read until I like my eyes get tired and I can fall asleep. Or once I feel myself getting tired, I will also just close my eyes and then I'll visualize how I want my day tomorrow to go. And that usually like knocks me out. And it's also like such a good manifestation hack too. Like I visualize how I want to feel tomorrow, what do I want to happen tomorrow, etc., etc. And a hack, what I'll usually do is that if I know I want to fix my sleep schedule, I will make sure I'm just really tired that day. Like obviously it's not ideal, but if there's a day where let's say I just didn't get a lot of sleep, like I went to sleep late that night and then I had to wake up early for whatever reason, I will take advantage of that tired and sleep deprived day. I will not nap or anything and I will go to sleep early that day and then just keep that like routine. Obviously it's hard to not nap, it's hard to like be tired during the day one day or something, but I will use that as my advantage for whenever I want to fix my sleep schedule. I promise you, sleeping early is not that complicated. You have to find what works for you and be disciplined enough to turn off your screens or anything that's just going to like excite you before you go to sleep. I also will charge like all my devices outside of arm's reach. And then that way, that's another hack which leads into waking up early in the morning. My iPad has like a super loud alarm. I don't know why, like the Apple, like I saw this on TikTok, other people are dealing with it. Like the Apple alarms on phones literally do not sound anymore. Like my phone will not have a loud alarm. It's so annoying. Anyways, I will use my like HomePod or I'll use my iPad and I will charge it again out of arm's reach. So that way when the alarm goes off, I have to literally get up out of my bed, out of the sheets to turn it off. And it's like the most annoying alarm too. Usually what I do is I do my iPad and my HomePod. So I have to like get up to turn off my iPad and then I have to talk out loud to tell Siri to stop. She didn't turn on, but I have to tell her to shut up and turn off the alarm. My other hack for waking up early is Mel Robbins' 5-second rule. I've talked about it so much, but if you don't know what it is, she basically has this thing where like, if you don't want to do anything, and especially if you don't want to get up in the morning, when you're like making that decision, you just decide, okay, I'm going to count down to 5 and I'm going to get up. So, or I'm going to count down from 5 and I'm going to get up. So you count down like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you get up like a rocket. And I don't know why this has worked every single time, but I think it's just the fact that when you decide you're going to start counting down, you've already decided you're going to get up, and then you kind of feel stupid when you don't get up. And it's also a way of you telling yourself like, I don't really care what I'm thinking right now. I'm not going to make this a choice. I'm just going to get up, and you're just not going to like process your thoughts. You're just going to do it, you know? That helps a lot for me on days where I don't want to get up, or it's hard for me to get up, or for things that like I don't want to do. And lastly, if you're a bit more hard-headed, you're in that transition phase, it's a little harder for you to make habits, whatever. If you are going to scroll on your phone to get yourself up, or you need to scroll on your phone to get yourself up instead of like staying in bed asleep, scroll on Pinterest. In high school, when I could not let go of, like, I had such a bad scrolling habit, I was like, okay, I will scroll on my phone when I get up, but I will only scroll on Pinterest. Like, all my other socials were blocked, and at least the first thing I was consuming was like inspiring content. So it was like, whatever. Obviously it's not ideal, but if you are gonna scroll, at least scroll on Pinterest. Have a good vision board to scroll through. If your feed is good, scroll through that. Moving on. Okay. My fave podcasts and my fave influencers. My fave podcasts, besides mine, obviously, I would definitely have to say Mindset Magic and Manifestation. I have been listening to that podcast since high school. I think that is the only podcast I've been listening to for that long. Also, Mel Robbins' podcast is so good. That's like the kind of podcast that I like to put on when I'm just like in the gym and I don't feel like listening to music. I feel like everyone's raving about her though, but like as they should, because her podcast is so good. Also, let me see. I really like Diary of a CEO. I think his are super, super good. Oh, I lied. Another podcast that I've been listening to since high school as well, which I think these are actually the only two, would be the Dr. Hyman Show. If you're into like wellness and these things, like I find like wellness things just so fascinating, kind of like doctor type of topics. He has a really good podcast and it's just so insightful. And those are my favorite podcasts, and they probably will be for a long time, because I don't try new podcasts that often, just because like I'm like, I don't want to waste my time. So I know what I like, you know? Also, I like The School of Greatness. I have not listened to that one in a while, but I used to listen to it all the time. And those are my favorite podcasts. I'm a very loyal podcast listener, so a lot of these I've been listening to since high school, and I don't like deviate that often. I don't know why. I like what I like with podcasts. Favorite influencers, I do switch all the time. Since we're like in the self-improvement space, my self-improvement favorite influencers are for sure Tam Kaur. I think I'm saying that right. I haven't watched her in like a minute, but usually I watch her all the time. Her content is just very grounding, inspiring. If you like routine and all that stuff, like it's just nice. Also, The Wizard Liz is obviously like, she eats. Mel Robbins is also an influencer technically, and I follow her stuff all the time. So I like her. And then I also like this one girl. Her name is Bobby, but I think her at, or at least her YouTube or something, is High Vibrations. If you're into manifestation, mixing with self-improvement and all that stuff, her content is really good. And then as far as just lifestyle, I really like this one girl. Her name is Elias Face. I follow her mostly on YouTube. Like, I watch her vlogs when I'm on the treadmill. Her vlogs are just the best to watch on the treadmill. I don't know why. And like, she's so authentic. She's a vibe. She's a vibe. And then lastly, if you are more into like fitness, gym girls, that type of stuff, I like Chrissy Chella. She is also such a vibe. I also like this girl. Her name is April Whitney, and I think she has like the program called Petite Power. I'm not sure if she changed the name or something, but if you are petite and you're into fitness and stuff, she talks a lot about like fitness and all of that stuff as a petite woman, because it is kind of different. So if you're petite and you like fitness, that is definitely someone that I would recommend. And I just like her in general. I feel like she's also super authentic and has like approachable tips and everything. And there's this one girl I recently started watching. She's so funny. Oh, this girl named Alexis, like Awwlexis. She has like such good feminine energy. I think she's a feminine energy coach, but that's another self-improvement influencer that I love. Her YouTube videos are so good. Okay, the one that I've been watching recently, also if you're like into fitness and stuff, I don't know if I'm gonna say this right, but her name is Talia Joel. She's so funny, and she's so like, oh, she just motivates me to like be a gym girl, and I love it. Okay, someone asked me about body hygiene. I'm gonna be so honest with you, there are some girls who like really do full in-depth 20-step videos about body hygiene. So if that's your vibe, I suppose you could just like look into those videos and they'll give you like 100,000 tips. But for me personally, I mean, I feel like my hygiene is pretty good. I hope so. But I have certain rules. So I have like my hair care routine, my oral routine, my this, my that. As far as body care goes though, and honestly, all the products I use, I only use clean products, and I use the Yuka app to see if products are clean. I also drink hella water, and I try to eat mostly whole foods, like at least 80% whole foods I'd say I eat. And I'm not gonna lie, when I have moments, vacations or whatever, where I'm kind of eating junk, I can like smell the difference, which is gross, but I can smell it on other people too. Like when you're eating junk, I just know. I honestly think that my biggest hack though for body hygiene and just smelling good is chlorophyll. If you get like the chlorophyll drops like on Amazon or whatever, and you start taking it every day, within a week, I'm not even kidding, your body odor will go away. That's probably my biggest tip. Like that's all I have to say. And besides that, the ordinary glycolic acid under your armpits to lighten your armpits, and also they just, it's kind of like a natural deodorant. For deodorant, my favorite natural deodorant is Lume. That's Lume. It is actually so good. I'm not even kidding, I've been using natural deodorant maybe since I've been 14, and I've tried all of them, but this is the only one that will work on me for long periods of time. Like I can wear that, go party, and I will still smell fresh. And I also wear perfume all the time. That is the one thing, I don't care if it's like toxic, I need my perfume. I'm such a perfume addict. And if your hair is greasy, get some hair perfume, get something. You just always need to be prepared. Always have some kind of deodorant in your bag. Always have some kind of travel size perfume in your bag, always. And then lotion out of the shower, obviously. I'd say those are like my main body hygiene tips. I think the simpler the better, but also being aware and prepared. Someone else asked how to get up when you go back to sleep after turning off your alarm. I feel like I already answered most of that, but honestly, some people like don't, they just don't want to do the discipline. Like you really, really, trust me when I say, you have to put your phone out of arm's reach. Like you have to put your alarm or wherever it is, somewhere where it's out of arm's reach, where you have to get up to turn off your alarm. And if all fails, if that doesn't work, do that. Do the hack where you have to get up to turn off your alarm, and then get one of those alarms where you have to like do a math equation or something to turn off your alarm. Or there's like different apps, right, that you have to like do something to be able to turn off your alarm. So it makes you use your brain and it makes you get up. Or develop a routine with yourself where you put your alarm in your bathroom if it's like close enough for you to hear it, and then immediately you start like brushing your teeth or something. Like once you turn off your alarm, like make it a habit, like one habit after the other. You turn off your alarm, you brush your teeth. Okay, I don't want to make this video too long, so last topic of the day, which I feel like is a bigger one and honestly a little touchy, so I'm just saying now, this is a trigger warning for anyone who does not want to hear about like ED recovery, binge eating recovery, anything relating to food, EDs, trigger warning. Okay, so one of the girlies asked how to overcome binge eating or just the 24/7 thoughts about food. Okay, we have a lot to unpack here, and eventually I want to make an entire video about this. But to be fully transparent, I have made a lot of progress in my journey with food, but I still have so much more to go, and I'm kind of waiting to make a full video on that. I think maybe in a few months when I've learned a bit more, like I've gone even longer without like overeating too much or binging too much or whatever. If you don't know, I have had such a complicated relationship with food. I've had multiple EDs. I recently, like this year in 2025 or the end of 2024, I got a food freedom and intuitive eating coach, which changed my life and finally started like my real healing journey. So I have learned a lot along the way. I have a lot of tips, I have a lot of insights, and I had also been dealing mainly with binge eating disorder since I was like literally 5 years old. Like it started so young, and it's not until now when I'm 21 that I'm finally like out of the cycle. And I'm not gonna lie, a lot of the tips, it's not gonna be what you want to hear, and that's just the truth. But healing is not an easy thing, and that's also the truth. Again, I am not an expert, I'm nothing, I'm just somebody who has had binge eating disorder for a very long time and has finally gotten control and like healed from it, at least for the most part. There's still hiccups here and there, obviously. Healing is not linear, and I don't even like to say that you are 100% healed from these kinds of things. Do I think it's possible? Sure. But also, like, just knowing that that wound will always be there kind of keeps you aware for you to not do things that will like trigger it again, and to be extremely gentle with yourself when it comes to food. So healing is not linear. I still have my hiccups, but I have made so much progress, and I can't even believe that I used to live the way that I did before. Anyways, enough of that. Let me tell you what I did, girl. Like I said, dealt with it for such a long time, and I like just got to this one point where I remember I literally like woke up one day and I fully binged. I'm talking like nasty stuff, like out of the garbage type of binge, okay? But I did it in the morning, and it happened two mornings in a row. And in my entire like life dealing with binging and everything, I had never done it in the morning. Like, it was always a nighttime thing. Like, straight fresh out of the morning to me was like, that's crazy. It took such a mental toll on me, and I had a boyfriend at the time, so I like told him what happened because my mental health was like so bad that weekend. But like, I didn't want him to think that I was just projecting things on him or that I was mad at him for some reason. So I just told him what happened. I was like, well, if he's gonna be with me, he has to know the real me. And he ended up basically like immediately booking some kind of therapy session with me, because he was like, he was just a problem solver. So he was like, I don't want my girlfriend to deal with this, yada, yada, yada. We are not together anymore, but I will always thank that guy for that, because it honestly changed my life. So props to him. But the reason that I'm saying it that way, and that I'm saying that it's him that did it for me, is that a lot of times when you're dealing with EDs, binge eating, even just emotional or overeating, things that are not as intense, but it's still kind of disordered eating habits, we like will not look for help, and we will not tell anyone because in our heads it's embarrassing. And I need you to know that that hurdle, getting over that hurdle of not telling anyone, is going to be the thing that is basically going to give you your life back. Even if it's just food thoughts, like, that is disordered eating. It's not normal to have thoughts about food 24/7. If you have not tried to get rid of whatever you're dealing with on your own, like maybe by taking a course, reading a book, watching videos or whatnot, like if you've tried to do those things on your own and nothing has worked, I think you should get some help. Some people have milder cases and they can just listen to advice online and then actually implement it, and then they're fine forever. But if you've like tried again and again, honestly, go online, search up like a binge eating therapist, a food freedom coach, like whatever, and schedule an appointment and just see where it goes, because you need to talk to someone, you need help, you need the help of an expert and someone who's going to hold you accountable so that you don't go back to your old ways. So for me, that was what really changed things for me. And I tried so many times to like get rid of the binge eating and the food thoughts and everything. I tried so many times, so many different methods, but the only thing that actually worked was getting real help. So that was step number one for me, which was getting a food freedom coach / intuitive eating therapist / binge eating therapist, whatever. If you search online, the art of mindful eating.com, that is Zen's website. I think you can book a call with her if she's not booked. She's literally changed my life. Like, she's absolutely amazing. But if you can't get it with her, get it with someone similar. Like, she changed my life. Anyways, what I learned through my healing in the program, number one, was not restricting, which is so scary if you have problems with food. I know. But think about it this way. A lot of times we have this obsession with food and fat and everything, right? In the beginning, it was really hard for me to let go of wanting to lose weight. It was really hard for me to let go of restricting and dieting and everything. But although this is also not the way to think about it, the only thing that motivated me in doing this was like, okay, well, if I think about all the people who have healthy relationships with food in my life, who are just effortlessly thin, whatever, they eat in this way. Like, they don't restrict. They can have whatever food groups. They just eat intuitively. So I was like, you know what? If this is how all the people who have what I want act, let me try it out. Like, let me listen to what this girl is saying and let me try it out. Obviously, I ended up losing weight. That wasn't the point though, because I let go already once I lost weight about dieting and losing weight and everything. But once you start listening to your body starts looking how it wants to look, and not like, I don't know, your body stops looking like you're binging and restricting all the time, and it starts just looking like a natural, normal, healthy body. Anyway, step number one though is to let go of restricting and let go of the diet mindset and wanting to lose weight. And no one's saying you're never gonna lose weight or whatever. If it's really hard for you, let's just say you're gonna put it on pause for now while you're healing. And that honestly is the hardest part. Like, even to this day, like, thoughts will still come in my head about, oh, losing weight, da da da, and I have to be like, I don't really care anymore. I don't want that anymore. Like, the thoughts are never really going to stop. Sometimes they do, but you just have to stop, like, putting through the action of wanting to lose weight, like starting a new restrictive diet or cutting out food groups, etc. Once there's no restriction, then you can go on to healing the emotional eating side of it. You have to realize that problems with food, binging, restricting, etc., they actually have nothing to do with food. A lot of us, somewhere along the line, found a way to cope with our emotions, which was through food. Not saying it's wrong and not saying normal eaters don't do it, because normal eaters also emotionally eat from time to time. Like, if you go to the movies and you have popcorn but you're not really hungry, that's a form of emotional eating. Or you go through a breakup and you want ice cream, or your friends get you like sweets and stuff to make you feel better. Like, that's also a form of emotional eating. It's not to say you're never going to emotionally eat. It's just that once you're constantly choosing emotional eating as your only coping mechanism to deal with all kinds of emotions, we have a bit of a problem, and it's just gonna make you feel worse the majority of the time. So food is not the problem. Food is not the enemy. Food has never been the problem. We need it to survive. The problem is you not being able to process your emotions in a healthy way. So the second step, again, I would prefer you'd go through this with an expert, but there's also like tips on emotional regulation and stuff online. But the second step would be learning how to regulate your emotions, learning how to realize when you're using food for emotional reasons versus for actual hunger or satisfaction reasons. And honestly, the third tip that I want to say about this is that you have to also stop seeing binging as the enemy, because through your healing, you are also going to binge from time to time, or you're going to overeat, and then you're going to want to beat yourself up. But if there's anything I learned, it's that a binge is such an insightful tool, even just overeating, but especially if you haven't binged like in a very long time, let's say, because this has happened to me a few times, like you've went a really long time without binging and then boom, you binge and you're like, oh my gosh, I just went like 2 or 3 months without binging and I did it again. But then I'm like, but these days I'm like, wait, this is actually a blessing in disguise, because binging is a symptom. Like, binging is not just, oh, overeating or one thing led to another. No, binging is a symptom of something else that's happening. So let's say, for example, this past weekend I went to Belgium with my friends and I definitely overate a lot. Like, I was like in pain at some point from overeating, which was very unlike the way that I eat now. And I was like, well, not gonna lie, a lot of us in the group, we did overeat a lot because we were just eating so many yummy foods, trying new things, and that happens. Like, that's a part of life. But there was like some points where I was like physically ill and I was like, okay, what is actually going on here? Because it's not about the food, it's not about the binging. The binging is just a symptom of something bigger, something emotional or something life related. I was like, okay, Mia, what's actually going on? So I know that I'm someone who really likes their routine. Like, I thrive off routine, and sometimes when I'm out of my routine, when I don't want to be, it kind of stresses me out a bit. So the fact that we were like partying every single day, which is something, again, I don't like to do on a consistent basis. I had no routine. I had no gym near me. I had none of my like healthy food with me. It was just like routine was totally gone, and I thrive off my routine. I felt totally out of control, and I tried to use food as a way to feel in control, which, again, when you think about it, it's false, because the overeating does not make you more in control, but we don't think logically when we're doing these kinds of things, right? So instead of being like, oh my gosh, I overate, like, what if I gained weight this weekend? Like, also, who cares if you gained weight? But anyways, what if I gained weight? What if like, instead of just thinking all of these thoughts, I was like, okay, this is a blessing. This kind of overeating has not happened in months. So let's decipher like what was going on and like, how can I do better next time when I'm put in this situation again? So now I know that I need to work on my attachment to my routine and being more flexible and free flowing and feminine. And maybe next time I go on this kind of vacation with my friends where I know I'm not going to have all my healthy food and gym and routine, like I'm not going to have access to it. How can I make a simple routine that I can follow every day that I know will ground me? Like, I just need something that will ground me every day. So in the binge, if you see it as a blessing and you can decipher what was going on, whether it's like a life situation, a fight with your boyfriend, a fight with a friend, you're just stressed out from work, from school, break it down and ask yourself, okay, what do I really need right now? A lot of times it's self-care, a lot of times it's a break, a lot of times it's a day off, and be like, okay, if I'm put in this situation again, what am I gonna do? Like, how can I do better and cope with my emotions or these feelings in a better way, in a way that feels good short-term and long-term? Again, though, I am not an expert, and I highly suggest you get help if you're dealing with something super serious, or if it's not that serious, help yourself, watch videos, find information online that will help you find, do some trial and error and find the things that will help you so that you can heal your relationship with food and yourself and your body image. I just want you to know that as someone who had binge eating for literally over a decade, literally like 15 years, and I'm still dealing with the repercussions, I just want you to know that there's hope and that it will end one day, but you have to be willing to sacrifice your dieting, your bad relationship with food, your poor body image and everything to live the kind of life that you want, to live a life where you're comfortable in your body and you're comfortable in your mind more than anything. But there is hope, because if I can do it with everything I've dealt through in my life regarding this topic, I promise you, you can do it. And now I'm living a life where I'm not thinking about food 24/7. I probably still am more than the average person, because again, I'm still healing. Healing is a long process, but it is the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful journey. And I'm gonna leave that there. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for having some tea with me, some coffee, whatever you're drinking. I love talking to you guys all the time. If you have any more questions, I always leave my socials down below. I also just came out with a Notion life planner, so you can definitely check that out. That's also going to be in the description. But feel free to DM me, ask me any other questions you might have, and I'll talk to you guys next time. Bye!